had planned on being here, but he said they're not going to be here today. But he wanted me to tell everybody how much he appreciates your prayer, your support, your encouragement, your gifts, everything that everybody's been doing for them as Holly Mae come into the world. And wow, what a beautiful little baby Miss Holly Mae is. Happy New Year. Coming up here in a couple of days. Everybody ready for the new year? Ready or not, here it comes. Julie read a quote this week, and I said, send that to me. I'll use that on Sunday. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start here, where you are, and change the ending. C.S. Lewis. The quotable C.S. Lewis. There's a lot in that, isn't there? So often we worry about way back there and we can do nothing about it. But you know, if we can change what we do right now and change the ending. And today I want to talk about some things that that can help us to do that. So basically, and I think Brian's already started and Elizabeth talking about the faithfulness of God, the Word of God, the power of the Word of God. And we all know how powerful the Word of God is, or hopefully we all know how powerful the Word of God is and the changes that it can have in our lives. So let's just get started. Father, thank you, Lord, for our day. Thank you, we've come to the end of another year. Thank you for the blessings of the year, the trials of the year, because it is in our trials that we become stronger. Thank you for the wisdom that you've given us. Thank you for the opportunities of the new year that's going to soon be upon us. Oh, and if you'd like to come back before the new year, that's fine. We'll just celebrate with you. So, Father, I ask that you guide us and lead us today as we take a look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the last couple of years, have I had some things that have happened to me to cause me to be confused, pleased, frustrated, even angry. So the gauntlet of my emotions have covered everything, and my guess is everybody here has experienced the same things, right? We've all had ups and downs and ups and downs. And something that I have learned, which I've already known, is the fact that God is very much aware of what's going on in this head of mine and in this heart of mine. You're not going to hide that from him. He knows those things. But not only does he know what's going on in our lives, but he has an answer for what's going on in our lives. Now, I want you to think about that. He has an answer for everything that's going on in our lives. Some of them you might not want to hear, but he has an answer. For me, when I'm anxious or worried, somehow or another, he sends a verse along to give me confidence. When I'm angry, he brings a verse along to tell me to pull my head in. When I get frustrated, he points out something to give me direction. One thing I've learned is God is on top of things and he's ready to give direction pretty much everything that comes along. And I believe he wants to do that for every born-again believer. Do you believe that? How does he do that? He's pretty sharp, isn't he? Well, he's had experience with humans for a long time, as disappointing as that might be. But he knows our nature. He knows what we're up to. He knows what we're thinking. He knows the answers and things like that. But there's an important part about God giving us instruction. I want you to get this. God's going to give us instruction, but it's pretty important whether we decide to listen to him and follow through with it. I've often wondered, why would God give us instruction if he knows in his sovereignty we're not going to follow through? Think about that. He might just decide, well, they're not going to do it anyway, so he takes a step back. And anybody ever been feel like you've been left on your own? I don't like that. I need all the help I can get. But it's up to us to decide whether we're going to apply with what God says. So what I would like to do this morning is take you through some verses of the Bible that have meant a lot to me during the year. Now, if you've got your handout, you'll see a listing of a lot of verses right there. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on any of them, but we do just want to run through because some of them are encouraging, some of them are challenging, some of them are downright worrying. But that's just the way the Lord uses his word sometimes to get our attention. So let's begin. But before we get started, I want to show you the words of other people that God has spoken and directed them. And the first one, we're going to go to the book of Psalms. Psalms 119, 105. We all know this one. We can quote it. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And if you'll think about that, the very essence of what he is saying, if you're walking along in a dark world or your life is a little bit dark, he will be a light for you. But do we start looking for the light? And will we start following the light? Will we follow the instruction that he gives? It's pretty important. Or are we like most people and try to figure it out on our own? There's a couple of other people said important things about the Bible. German scholar, he's a brilliant guy, Immanuel Kant said, "The existence of the Bible as a book for the people is the greatest benefit which the human race has ever experienced." Wow. This is the greatest benefit that the human race has ever experienced. Have you engaged with it this week? There's a few heads going like this, but a few heads not moving at all. As I've often said, say amen or oh me. Daniel Webster says, "If we abide by the principles taught by the Bible, our country will go on and prosper. But conversely, if we don't, look out." British Prime Minister William Gladstone said, "I have known 95 of the world's great men in my time, and of these, 87 were followers of the Bible. The Bible is stamped with a speciality of origin, and an immeasurable distance separates it from all its competitors." We're early. If these men who are movers and shakers throughout history have such a high regard for the Bible, shouldn't we? Folks, as we're moving into the new year, we can't change what we've done in 2018. Okay? It's a done deal. But we can change what we do in the new year. And starting in just a couple of days, we're going to have an opportunity to change how we live and what we do. And I think if I'm not into making New Year's resolutions, because you might as well go ahead and break it within 24 hours, because you're going to break it anyway. That's normally the way I experience things like that. But make a concerted effort to spend more time in your Bible. And at the end of this message, I'm going to show you a very, very, very simple way to do that. Not hard, but it's something that I take advantage of every day. All right, what is the Bible? Somebody tell me, what is the Bible? Okay. It's God's revelation of Himself to us. Let's make it more personal. It's almost like God says, all right, come here. Have a seat. We're looking eyeball to eyeball. No, we can't look at the face of God, you know, but imagine you're looking at Jesus, okay? And He says, listen, I've got something I need. I'm going to tell you, and I need you to listen to what I'm about to say. That's the way we can look at the Bible. Just like we're sitting down with somebody whom we greatly respect and somebody we know that has never made a mistake and has created the world, what an audience we're going to have if we get that one correct. But anyway, it's like we can sit down with God and carry on a conversation. You know, if our Bible reading in our time, our devotional time, will more develop into a personal thing like that, it will be so much easier. Often what I do, I'll get a verse in my head and go out and walk the dogs. And I can think about that as long as Milo doesn't try to chase something. But the key to it is interact with what God is saying for you. It's a very personal thing. And look at it that way and enjoy it. So let's go into some verses that have meant a lot to me throughout the year. As we started 2018, there was a couple of verses that hit me that have directed my life for a lot of years. And I've probably quoted it so many times you could tell me what that is. But it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Or King James, He'll direct thy path. So the result is the same. Let's look at each of you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Come on, folks. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. How many does that? Why is all these little giggles coming up? Hey, I'm right there with you. Well, who do we trust? That fellow you look at or lady you look at in the mirror in the morning. He says, listen, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't doubt. Enjoy the confidence that you can have in the Creator of the universe for you. Enjoy that. It's no wonder John Piper calls himself a Christian hedonist. He's just obsessed with God. What's wrong with that? We need to approach that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Oh, let's leave this one out. Do not lean on your own understanding. That's a big one, folks, because most of us want to understand what's going on in our life. I've come to the conclusion, if you're a Christian, you will not understand what's going on in your life. But then again, why do we think we should understand everything that God is doing? If He's God and He's sovereign, and His ways are above our ways, what makes us think we can understand Him? The key to it is says, okay, I'll trust you. Let's go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. And here's the big one. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Folks, do we really acknowledge God in everything? I know we do around our meal tables. Do we do when we get up in the morning? Do we acknowledge God when we go to bed at night? Do we acknowledge God in the hours during the day? Brother Andrew wrote a book about practicing the presence of God. You and I should get in our relationship with God in such a way that we should be able to interact on a personal level all day long. You don't have to be, now as important as this word is, you need to saturate your brain with that. But throughout the day, maybe it's probably not smart to go around with your nose in the Bible all day. But we can interact with God all day long. If you mess up, Lord, I messed up. He says, I know. Oh, by the way, go on, I'll help you straighten up the mess you just created. Or something amazing happens. Most of the time when something amazing happens, what do we do? Well, I'm pretty good, aren't I? Don't we? If somebody brags on us, we go, thank you. Have you praised God for what you're able to accomplish? If Mal's bowling and he scores a big score, I think that's something to praise God about, don't you? It's like me going fishing. I always tell Julie, I'll bring tea home. She starts cooking. It's the reason I quit fishing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Don't forget that. Then, if we do those things, he will direct our path. Now, look at this. This is a classic method that God uses. He says, if you'll do this, I'll do that. If you'll do that, I'll do that. Will we make that kind of a deal with God? Because if we do our part, he'll do his. But he often waits for us to make the first move. Let's go back to our verses. On the very first day of 2018, this verse came through. Isaiah 43, verse 19. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. And we all know throughout 2018, there has been some pretty crazy things going on in the world. Hasn't there? And what we do, we watch it and we fret over it and we worry about that and go, oh me, and all these kind of human things to do when he's already promised, I'm going to show you a way through the wilderness. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? So whatever comes in 2019, where is your confidence? Is it in you, in your ability? Good luck. Is it in God? You got a chance, a good chance. Then another verse, Psalms chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. I like this one. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him with a shield. What a marvelous verse. God will bless the righteous. He will surround them with a shield. And because of that, we should be living as such. We should be praising God in our actions, in our attitudes. We should be honoring Him. It should be a real thing with us. And we'll think about that for about 2 hours until we start listening to the ABC or the news, and we go, oh. He said He's going to put a shield around us. He said He's going to bless the righteous. What does that mean to you? Are you getting this? Folks, this was first week of 2018. So if you put your trust and confidence in God, it's time to rejoice. We are to shout because God will defend us. For those who love His name, let them be joyful in you. The Lord will bless the righteous and surround them with shield. Hey, listen, if there's no other verse that you're going to get this year, write that one down and memorize it. It's God's Word. Oh, this next one wasn't that much fun, though. I must have had something going on in my life. You ever had the want-tos or got-tos? I got to have that, or I want to do that. Anybody ever like that? Anybody ever let that obsess them? This verse comes along, Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. I told you, sometimes you don't want to hear it. In other words, pull your head in, Tony. Quit desiring so much. Quit coveting. Why? For He Himself has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. All right, let's get in our congregation with God here. He says, listen, you don't need all of those things. And you know why? Because I am with you. That's all you need. And the Christian said, thank you, Gail. And then there's a verse that comes along that causes me to do some real soul searching. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his doing. You ready to sit down with the Lord again on this one? Hey, Tony, listen, I'm watching. I know what's going on in your mind. Furthermore, I know what's going on in your heart. I know why you do the things that you do. Tony, I'll reward you according to your actions, but you need to make sure your focus is right. Boy, can you imagine the challenge I got that one when I received that verse? Oh, let's do an encouraging one, all right? Then this encouraging one comes along, Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Oh, come on, folks. Come on. How many wants to get close to God? Is there anybody here that really honestly wants to get close to God? If you do, you got to search for Him. You got to long for Him. You got to look for Him. You got to dig. You got to want, have the want-tos about God. He said, then you'll find me. I remember when I was out in Queensland fossicking for sapphires. You wouldn't want to see me at that time. You know how you are out in the bush. The beard's growing, the hair's scraggly, and all this kind of stuff, you know. Sleeping in a swag. But you have to dig and work and dig and work, and you got to turn a lot of gravel before you find something worth taking home to mama. Off in call her up, said, "I'm coming home." She says, "Have you found something mama can enjoy?" I found a few. But the analogy is the same. You got to turn a lot of gravel to find that stone. Folks, you got to turn a lot of things to find that relationship with God that you want. Do you want that? Do you want that? Psalms 37, verse number 4 goes along with that. Let's get on this one and see what he says. Psalms 37, verse number 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Do what? He will give me the desires of my heart if I do what? Delight myself in him. Well, what does that mean? Well, throughout the year, we delight in our family, we delight in our kids, we delight in our accomplishments, we even delight in our animals. That's one for Charlie and Milo. We delight in so many things, but now here, come on, let's focus here. Do we ever delight in God as much as we delight in those things that bring us joy? Do we? Folks, he said he'll give us the desires of our heart. All these other things he'll give us, but first we got to delight in him. He has to have an important focus from our lives. And guess who's going to make that decision? You and me. Or you and I, which is proper. Whichever. We got to make that decision. In the new year, will we delight in the Lord? Will we? Mark that one down. And then one come along that caused me some real concern and soul searching. Isaiah 29, verse number 13. And I'm going to read this to you from the New Living Translation because I want everybody to understand what he's saying. All right. Isaiah 29:13. And so the Lord says, these people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. These people say they're mine. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is nowhere near me. Wow, when I read that one, this one stuck with me for a while, okay? Because it troubled me. And as I was searching myself, I was asking myself, am I for real? Or am I just going through the motions? Am I legitimate? Or am I doing things just because somebody I respect told me this is what I ought to do? Is my heart with God or is it not? I think sometimes as Christians, we can go through the motions of worship, but our heart is nowhere near it. You think we can get that way? And And you know what? A lot of times when you got a bunch of rules to do this and this and this and this, yeah, you can abide by the rules, but God has no part of it. Because you're not doing it because you love Him, you're doing it to please the brethren, to fit in. And that's exactly what God said of His people in Israel at the time. That's exactly, they were going through the motions of worship, but there was no worship there. And I know this is an Old Testament passage of Scripture, but was it mentioned in the New Testament? Go with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. You know this is the passage where Jesus is given instruction for the churches. Guess what? This is where we live. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. It seemed like these people were doing their job. Verse 3, and I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you haven't grown weary. You've not quit. You've done all this thing for me. Verse 4, but stop. You're living this quote-unquote Christian life, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. In other words, their actions was merely a formality, but they have lost their love for Jesus. There's an Old Testament word called anathema, which means the glory hath departed. When you have a church who's doing the formalities and they're not in love with Jesus, the glory's departed. Something, now that one kind of hung with me for a while when I read that verse. Now let's quickly move away from that and end on a positive note, all right? Yeah. Third John chapter 2. I like what he's saying here. He says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Now, I know we can have a big discussion about what it means to prosper, but all of them are pretty good, all right? So it doesn't matter. He says, beloved, I pray that you prosper in what? All things. Prosper in what? That was his prayer. Beloved, I pray that you'll prosper in all things and be in health. I'll take that one. As your soul prospers. Now, I'm not beginning Pentecostal here, all right? I'm just simply applying the Word of God, all right? Taking Him for His Word. We're sitting down in a conversation with the Lord. He says, Tony, my prayer for you is that you just prosper in all things and be in good health. I'll say, thank you, Lord. Sounds pretty good. But how do we get there? At the ending, I'm going to show you one verse that has stuck with me more than any other verse this year. Probably only it's come in about 30 days ago. How are we going to prosper? How are we going to be right with the Lord? What do we have to do? Proverbs 22:4. the reward for humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Now, let's face it, we're all humans. We want riches, honor, and life. If somebody's going to give us $1 million, would you turn it away? If you are going to turn it away, please send it to me and Julie. I'll even take 100,000, you know. So if you got money, you want to throw it away. I know some people who, you know, will. So, but riches, honor, and life. Now, you know, a lot of things that people do, it's for honor, recognition. Most of our working life, we work to where we can be the best that we can be, to where we can get recognition from our bosses and maybe get a raise or something. There's that riches again. And life, I mean, how can you define life? Two things will get you there. You ready? Humility and fear of the Lord. That is so back to front with our culture. Our culture is me and me and me and more me and mine and me. It's just that's what it's all about. But God says, no. Two things you need. Humility and a real respect for God. That's heavy. We do know that God resists the proud and He gives grace to the humble. Which do you want? In 2019, please don't get lifted up in yourself. Hey, Tony, you got that? No strutting around like a rooster for Tony, all right? Humility and a reverence for God. It's a good place to start the new year, isn't it? And I haven't even got into the ones that's come in since then. Well, where are you getting these verses? I'm going to tell you. I've already told you before. Do you have a computer or a smartphone or anything like that? Get on your computer, your smartphone, or whatever. Download the YouVersion app. Okay? Put your email address in. And every day they will send you a verse of Scripture in the version that you want, all the way from King James to New Living or whatever, but they will send you a verse a day. And it's, if you don't have time for anything else, take the time to read that one verse, ponder it, see how it applies to your life, because it might be just the Lord saying, listen, you need to hear this right now. And in my life, throughout 2018, more often than not, that verse got me. And it spoke to me. So every one of us, because I think most of us will have a phone or a computer, right? Oh, if you don't, that's all right. That's all right. Some people don't. But the thing about it is, if you don't have a computer, just pull out your Bible. It'll do the work. Yeah. What's that? YouVersion, one word. YouVersion. YouVersion.com. It just happens to have been downloaded in the last 10 years about 350 million times. So 350 million people all over the world is using that app. Don't tell me the Word of God is not going out changing lives. Folks, I think there's a revival going on in the world. In closing, I've talked to two or three people today who've told me about things they've heard going on in the world. God's doing something remarkable in our world. Our decision is, do we want to be part of it? In the new year, folks, let's be part of it. Let's stand. Remember, folks, the Word of God is the most significant gift given to the human race because it includes all we know about God, all we know about Jesus, all we know about heaven or hell. It includes it all in that one volume. Get to know it in the new year. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you what it has meant to me throughout the year. Thank you for what it has meant to everybody else here today throughout the year. And may all of us make a commitment to get into your word and learn more about you and then respond to what you show us, so we can better reflect the character of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Have a wonderful new year.